We welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and so pleased to have you sharing with us. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, but a little bit cool, but yet it is still a beautiful Lord's Day. I am going to be speaking this morning on the subject, the last in a series from the book of Jonah, Jonah the Pouting Prophet. And I don't know whether you have had the privilege of sharing with us as we have shared messages from each of the chapters, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And that's what we're going to read about today. And of course, there are just the four chapters in the book of Jonah. But personally, I have received a blessing from being able to study hopefully very thoroughly about Jonah and many, many important lessons. So if you will, let's start reading in the fourth chapter, and we will read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 11. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. We're talking here, of course, about the fact that God, because of the repentance of the Ninevites, that he relented and did not kill them and did not send the severe punishment upon them. And in verse 2, he said in the fourth chapter, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a very gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about this plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun rose. And the sun blistered, and the sun rose, and God provided a scorching heat, a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about this plant?" "Is it?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have concern about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" As we have looked in the book of Jonah, there are a number of things that we have talked about. We have talked about the terribleness of being disobedient to the teachings of God's Word. We have talked about that we can run from God, but we cannot hide. And we have talked about, as Jonah talked to the people of Nineveh about their tremendous sin and wrongs, to come to repentance. And then today we're going to be talking about a lack of understanding of God's ways. A man of sulky disposition demanded 2 eggs for breakfast one morning, and his wife meekly asked, "How would you like them cooked?" And he very quickly replied, "Fry one sunny side up and scramble the other." In due time, the eggs were prepared and presented to His Majesty. And as he looked at his plate, he asked his wife asked him what was wrong. And he snarled and he said, "You messed it up as usual. You scrambled the wrong egg." Well, some people pout and suck at the least provocation. And Jonah, after an eminently successful evangelism crusade in Nineveh, became the pouting prophet. And why did he do that? God had been so gracious to him and to Nineveh. The sun shone, should have been shining in his life, and instead he was in the shadow of a sulk. Now, in reading in the third chapter, if you remember, and we read these words, where it says, "Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw His burning anger so that we will not perish." And when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, and then God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared He would bring upon them. Now, here are some things that are hard to understand. We go back to the very beginning and we notice that God told Jonah, the wickedness is very great in Nineveh. As a matter of fact, some people probably compare it to Germany, the Nazis, and people in that category. Very, very wicked. And so Jonah, as we all know, went to Tarshish and did not obey, and grave disobedience. And the thing maybe that was even in Jonah's mind when he disobeyed is maybe that he knew, because God was compassionate and was forgiving, that in time that he might relent concerning the punishment that he was going to send upon the Ninevites. And so maybe that had a part to do in his going to Tarshish. But the point is here is that he was disobedient as to what Christ wanted him to do. He pouted because Nineveh was saved. Through his preaching, and we look at his preaching, though he seemed to be more talking about doom than an offer of salvation, the Ninevites, as we know, they repented and they were saved. Now, evidently, there were a number of things, maybe some things that are not mentioned in totality in the book of Jonah, but evidently there were things said that got right to the heart of the matter and told the Ninevites, you know, they would not survive, they would be destroyed if they did not repent, if they did not ask God for forgiveness and change their ways. Imagine any city getting right with God because you hollered at them that in 40 days they would be destroyed. Just imagine, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. Nineveh, you're going to be destroyed. But we notice that there evidently was a very, very applying of the principles which are involved in repentance, and they were saved. Friends, today, I'm not sure, but sure that we need to be saying is, if you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. If you're going to be destroyed, if you do not repent and change your ways. Let's look at some of the things that are part of our landscape today. Can you see taverns shutting down? Can you see porno shops being converted to art stores? Can you see drugs no longer being sold by slinky stinkers? Can you see all the cults being deserted like the sinking ships they are? Can you see that if that happened, how would you react? Well, probably a lot of people, even who are Christians, is that they would probably sulk and or pout, I beg your pardon, at this kind of happenings. You see, Jonah did. Jonah was indignant. And you see, I guess that what we have here in Jonah, he felt like that they were so wicked and so wicked that they should not have been the recipient of the grace and mercy and the love of God. And as a matter of fact, it says in Jonah 4, 1 through 3, let me read it again very quickly, verses 1 through 3, listen as I read. He says, but to Jonah, it seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall my fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, God, a slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Lord, just take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." I guess the anger and the misery he was living under was very, very strong. And so what we notice here is that many times we do not have an understanding of how we are responding and how it can be incorrect. We have our own ideas about doing rather than seeking total obedience and seeking God's ways. Look what you've done, he says to God. You forgave them. And I tell you this, I told you this would happen. Now I'm mad enough to die, he said. He preferred death for himself rather than life for his enemies. How unlike God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How unlike Jesus, who willingly gave his life to save sinners. So why was Jonah angry that God spared Nineveh? Well, possibly there are four underlying reasons. First of all, there was the loss of Jewish national security. Jonah wanted his enemies out of commission, and we ask the question, who doesn't want that? A loss of Jewish national esteem. If these guys repented and were spared, it would seem that they were as important to God as were the Jews. It'd be a loss of personal self-esteem. He had predicted doom in 40 days, and if that had not happened, they might have mocked at him. And also, his sense of justice was offended. He was saying, in essence, he said, "They are so wicked, Father. They're so wicked, God. They don't deserve mercy. Why?" And he said, "They didn't merit grace. They deserve to be destroyed and to die the death of a dog." Yes, he not only pouted because the Nineveh was saved, but he pouted because he did not get his own way. Many things, many steps and responses had been forwarded, so to speak, at every turn. He was bothered by a call. We know that he was perfectly happy living where he was and doing what he was doing. But he was caught in a storm at sea. We know that he was vomited upon to a beach. And now to top it off, adding insult to injury, is that God shows kindness to this bunch of jerks in the city of Nineveh. You know, we might call Jonah the Burger King prophet because he wanted his way on to Tarshish and out with Nineveh. Jonah wanted them blasted into hell. His plan was burn, baby, burn, and God dashed his plan. We all have had and still have cherished plans thwarted, hopes that have been dashed, dreams come to naught. How do we react? Well, we need to ask the question, do we respond negatively? Do we pout? Do we shout? Do we throw a tantrum? Do we feel sorry for us and angry at them? And nothing will darken your day more than that. Or do we look at it positively? God knows best, and he's leading every step of the way. As one person said, and said it so well, is God has a bigger picture in mind. Listen to Jonah snapping out. He says, "Therefore now, O Lord, just take my life. For death is better to me than life." He prematurely desired death because God graciously granted life. God asked, "Do you have good reason to be angry, Jonah?" Jonah replied, "I have good reason to be angry, even at that." And the NLT translation puts it this way, "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Maybe he's like the man who prayed for something and didn't get it. And when he did get what he did get, was angry at God. And in his pouting and in his sulking voice, he shouted, "Lord, if this is the way that you're going to act, I won't let you serve me anymore." Jonah wanted his way. He wanted the people, he wanted it the way he wanted to do it. He, like I said, first of all, we go back to his disobedience. And he didn't go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish. And then also, he just could not understand why that the Ninevites ought to be saved. He pouted because of a faulty value system. Friend, I cannot tell you how important it is to understand what God values and do everything that you can to value what he values. He valued the vine that we're going to read about again more than he valued his fellow man. The King James Version says about this mentioning of a vine that was put over Jonah, that Jonah had pity on the vine. And that's what the Hebrew word here means, is to put pity or compassion. And what he did, was putting pity on the vine and not on the city of Nineveh. Then the Lord said, as we read about in verses 10, 11, read it again, and he says to him this, "But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" He had a value system that was not as it ought to have been. Jonah was madder than a wet hen, so to speak, when the vine was destroyed and Nineveh was not. He was more concerned over a vine than and became so angry than he was over the sins and the wrongs of Nineveh. Many people today, friends, just like Jonah of old, have misplaced or erroneous value system. And I want to share some of the results of a faulty value system. We look at our world today, we look at the world, look at Jonah, look at the way that he lived. People love things, and they use people. People value the temporal over the eternal. People esteem the outward appearance rather than the inward reality. People love money more than they love God. People want the approval of their fellow man more than they want God's approval. People are more concerned with their creature comforts than they are with character. People are more interested in ease than evangelism. People want to be happy more than they want to be good. People grasp and cling to what they cannot keep more than what they should never lose. Friends, I look at our world as we share on this beautiful Lord's Day here in the spring of 2024, and it seems by the fruit which are being born that people value their own opinions more than God's word. I don't want to overwork these terms, but it's so important. It does seem, friends, by the fruit that is being born, that we are morally adrift. Is that it just seems like that we follow that teaching we find in the book of Judges, is people did that which was right in their own eyes. We are adrift. And I have asked different times our congregation, would you want to see, don't you want to see a better America? And every one of them would say, amen, amen, amen. And sometimes I look at our world and I wonder if we really understand what we're saying amen to, is that when we want to have a better world, we've got to understand, I think, as much as anything today about the importance of the home. Because, as Billy Graham said, as goes the home, so go our schools, so go our nation, so go our universities, so go myriads of things. And many, many, many of the heartaches right today that we have in America is because, if not by a direct result of the condition of the home, certainly by an indirect condition of the home, but I think it's a direct impact upon our world and upon what is happening in our world. It just seems that our values, that when you think about the fact that the home was the first institution that God brought into existence, and that He has given us teachings as to how a man and woman are to live before they are married. There is not to be the sin of fornication, and that is to be saved for marriage, and that He's given us instruction on how to live after we are married. And I have no question, after 60 years of preaching, that the home, for the most part, is in the worst shape it's ever been in. That Christian people are not honoring the value system about one of the most important institutions in all the world. And friends, I hate to say that if the response that we make is a disobedient response, we can expect nothing but heartache. God does not honor sin. God does not honor wrong. And He said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to God. And so when we look at this, that we need to see that His value system, He was more concerned about this vine that God had given to Him to put over Him so He could enjoy the beauty of the day. And became angry when that vine did not continue. Some years ago, a man climbed up the face of one of the large department store buildings in Los Angeles. Thousands gathered to watch him perform this seemingly impossible feat. Slowly and carefully, he made his way upward, clinging to a jutting brick, again to a cornice, and up he went. And as he was near the top, he was seen to feel to right and left and above his head for something firm enough to support his weight. And soon he seemed to spy what looked like a gray bit of stone or discolored brick protruding from the smooth wall. He reached for it, he grasped it, but before the horrified eyes of the spectators, the man fell to the ground and was killed. In his dead hand was found a spider's web. He had mistaken it for a stone. For those and for who grasp things that don't really matter and let things go that will last for eternity, they are sure to fall. And friends, that's where we are today. People are grabbing a hold of a spider web when they think maybe they're getting a hold of a brick to help them climb. So what happened to Jonah? Well, I have no idea what happened to him after this episode, and that's really not the big question. The question is, what happens right now in your life? Are you willing to show the same mercy to others you want God to show to you? Are you willing to truly submit your own self-guided life to His ways and His will? Are you willing to shift your priorities, to put your priorities where they ought to be, with God and God first in your life? Friends, from the very beginning, it was pointed out that God had a work for Jonah to do, but he disobeyed. Thank God he repented. Thank God he changed. But are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Someone has said, let the Lord have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Only one life, it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And how true that is. And so I challenge all of us this morning, let him have your life. Don't let your opinions be more important than the teachings of God's word. Let him have your life, and he'll give you a life more abundant and fulfilled than you can ever imagine. Let him have your life here, and he'll assure you of life eternal hereafter. Sing and pray our hymns, and pray and think about that great song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." Let us pray. Father, I pray that we have a desire to have the right value system, that we have the desire to seek the way of the Lord. And it's beautiful to see how that even though the sin and our sins were astronomically bad with the Ninevites, is that there was repentance, genuine repentance, and God forgave them. Lord, help us today to look at our lives. Lives are so short. And one of these days, we're going to leave this world. Then what? Well, it depends upon what we have done with God's Son. It depends upon our desire to be obedient and not disobedient. It determines whether is how faithful we have been or unfaithful. Friends, please seek God's ways and be obedient. In his name we pray.